This is a very famous question, but I want to spend a few minutes addressing, although the answer to this question and the discussion of this question is something that has been discussed, debated, written about for really thousands of years. And that's the question as to what the purpose of the Mishkan is. Why have this place? We know that God's Shekhinah rests in the entire world. We know, as we read at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, that there was a Mizbeach Adama, there was already the capacity of bringing Karbanos before the Mishkan. There are other forms of Avodah as well. So why have this place? Why have this tabernacle? Why have this Makom in which God's presence specifically is going to rest? I want to suggest a few different thoughts and a few different approaches in ways perhaps that might be meaningful for us as well. One thought is that a Jew can always have a Mizbeach Adama. A Jew, in theory, although this is based on the historical reality of when there is or is not a Beis HaMikdash, can go to their backyard, can build for themselves a little, Mizbeach, a little something, and they can bring a carbon, they can serve God in all sorts of ways. But maybe the Torah's message of having a Mishkan is the understanding of the necessity of beautifying one's service, not only because that's what God demands, because who knows what that means. You know, Chazal tells us, Rechmana liba ba'i, all you really need is your heart. So it's not clear if God demands the beauty of the Mishkan, but certainly both as far as the kavod for what a person is doing, but maybe even more so, their ability to feel connected through beauty. The person themselves, most people that I know, they get up, they want to dress nicely, they want to have a decent car, they want to live in a home that's a decent home, and a person is going to connect to beauty, to something that's aesthetic, to nature. And therefore, maybe the message is that if you want to serve God, man has to do so in a very human type of way, through beauty, through a beautiful structure. So thinking about the idea of us moving into our shul this past year, does it really make a difference where a person davens? Do we have to build a multi-million dollar structure? A person could be in their house, a person could be in their backyard. But to some degree, you walk into a place that has a majestic feel to it, you value what you're doing more, and what you're doing is elevated, and that's a little bit of the idea of having the Mishkan. There's another approach as well. We mentioned the approach of beauty, connecting to God through beauty. It's also true that the Mishkan was the place for God's presence to be felt in the world. And there's something very beautiful about the fact that this place, this receptacle for God's Shekhinah, it wasn't just the Mizbeach of bringing a carbon. And in fact, the Mizbeach for bringing the carbon was not in the inner chamber, but it was outside in the courtyard. But in this place of God's presence were so many different elements. The menorah that reflects light and chachmah and knowledge and the intellect, and the light that penetrates through that, the shulchan, the table that reflects parnasa, making a living, this world, sustenance, the ketores that reflects man's soul, the haron that reflects the Torah, and so many other pieces of the Mishkan. It wasn't just about bringing carbon. It was God's presence reflecting itself in all the various pieces, nuances that make up one's life. And the Mishkan, in a way, represents the fact that in every derech, in every area, in every avenue that person's in science, in nature, in physical activity, in making a living, in learning Torah, in tefillah, in intellectual pursuits, that God's beauty can be reflected through that. The light of holiness, of divinity, can be felt in every fiber, in every nuance, in every entree that a person connects to in this world. And the Mishkan was the paradigm of that. So you're right, could there be a Mizbeach? There could be a Mizbeach. But the Mishkan was almost the prism of light that God reflects itself through in every piece of man's existence and in every piece of creation. But there might be other approaches as well, many other approaches, as to why have a Mishkan. We said because of necessity of beauty. We said a place that has so many different points of connection to God's presence in this world. But a person also has to look at the Mishkan in the historical context of why it was given, why it was commanded. And in this I refer to a very famous debate in the Midrashim, and maybe even made more so in the Machlokas between Rashi and the Ramban. Now the debate between Rashi and the Ramban revolves around two points. And the overarching question is the Mishkan a response to Chet HaEgel, to the sin of the golden calf? Or is there an independent commandment of having a Mishkan, of having a Beis HaMikdash? Even if there never was the sin of the golden calf, there would still be the obligation of having a Mishkan. So Rashi has a principle that says, Ein mutam u'me'uchar b'Torah, there's no beginning and end of the Torah. So even though the parasha of Truma and Tetzaveh, the building of the Mishkan, appears before the sin of the golden calf, in reality, the sin of the golden calf came first, and as a response to the sin of the golden calf, the Mishkan was then commanded. And the Ramban has a different approach. The Ramban said, what, is the Torah a joke? The Torah must have been given of Truma and Tetzaveh, the building of the Mishkan, before the sin of the ego, to teach us that there's an independent obligation, irregardless of what happened by Chet Ego, there's an independent obligation of there being a Mishkan, of there being a Mikdash, of a place for God's sanctity to express itself in the world. And that's Machlokes in Rashi and Ramban. Is the Mikdash a response to Chet Ego, or is the Mishkan independent of Chet Ego? And the question that people are bothered by, the Sforno, and many, many others, the Ramban, is why is it, in what way, is the Mishkan a response to the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf? How does A connect to B? In what way are they linked? So many people assume, and this is an answer that's brought down by some of the later thinkers, and later, I guess, spiritual thinkers, is that what Chet HaEgel recognized is that man needs a context. He needs something real. He needs a place. Man is too diminished. Man is too inadequate just to live in the world of thoughts and feelings, to have to think that Moshe Rabbeinu has gone up to Har Sinai. And they couldn't just live in that. They got worried. They got anxious. Where was Moshe? They needed something, so they had to build something, and that was the Chet HaEgel. So the Mishkan, and as a result, the shuls that we live in, are a response in saying that, yes, you need something real. You need to go to a place. You need to have a real structure. It's not enough just to live in the world of thoughts. You have to come every day or every week to a place, to a minyan, to a shul, to a Beis Medrash. And that's why the Mishkan is a response to the Chet HaEgel, that we need something real, tangible in our lives, and man wasn't capable of living without the presence of Moshe, namely the presence of something very real, very tangible that a person could touch. But I thought to say maybe even more than that, and this is something that speaks to me personally in my life, is what the Mishkan is, and what the Mishkan was. It wasn't just, as we indicated originally, a place of beauty. Okay, fine, that's very nice, but it wasn't just that. It wasn't only just a place that God's reflection could be felt in all the various different pieces of creation, Parnassa, Chachma, Torah, Tefillah, etc. That's very nice, but it's even more than that. It's specifically that Shechinas Hashem and the Mishkan was an outgrowth of the sin of the golden calf. It was an outgrowth of that tremendous sense of distance, of pain, of hurt. the breaking of the luchos, the feeling that the Bnei Yisrael had afterwards, according to Midrashim, of libi er, that my heart is like saddened, and where is God? Sort of feeling of they've sinned, feeling a little bit despicable. Here it is, we built a golden calf standing at Har Sinai. Bnei Yisrael was coming from a very, very low place. And the Mishkan came, the Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan testimony, to testify that God had not left the nation. But it's specifically the Shekhinah that comes from the lowest, most vulnerable, most broken piece of a person. And therefore, the Mishkan was a statement of saying that when Bnei Yisrael feels that way, when a person is in a low place, the response to that is by building the Mishkan Ha'edus, the Mishkan testimony. It was God's sanctity, but not just for the purpose of having Shekhinah in the world, but specifically as an outgrowth of the feeling, diminished feeling, the pained feeling, the broken feeling that Bnei Yisrael was experiencing then. There's something so beautiful about that idea. Man's beauty, man's eternal nature, man's greatness, man's transcendence is often reflected, often is given life to, by man's pain, by man's lowest place. And the key is to find a meaningful way of addressing that pain, that humanity. Do we hide from that? Do we recede because of it? Or do we build? We get closer to the people around us. We get closer to God. We come into shul and we speak to God through whatever place we are in our life. We build the Mishkan. We learn Torah. The Mishkan itself is a reflection of man's travels in this world with all of its vicissitudes and with all of its struggles. And out of that place, the Mishkan, the Asuli Nidosh Vishakanti Vesokham, built for me a place I will reside within it, can almost only come out of those moments of difficulty. So the Mishkan is all of those things. The Mishkan is beauty in what we bring to our avoda. A person should daven in the basement, a person should daven in a beautiful place because it speaks to man's need for beauty. The Mishkan is God reflecting himself in all the various points of light in this world. The Mishkan is, as the Ramban said, a place that is eternal, that always had to exist. And the Mishkan also, in a very real way, is a response to the human condition, to human struggle, the ability to dig down and build something beautiful and illuminating. We should be zochen all of our lives to build those binyanim, to build our own Mikdash Ma'at. Where there is pain, we replace it with light. Where there is darkness, we replace it with understanding. And that's the beautiful building of the Mishkan in our own lives, which hopefully then can all add and all join together in building the ultimate binyan in Yishalayim Yer HaKodesh, v'mehera v'yameinu. Amen. Thank you, everyone, and have a good day.